It says the Islamic resistance movement is a humanistic movement. It takes care of human rights and is guided by Islamic tolerance when dealing with the followers of other religions. Now, I found that fascinating, and I'm going to read something real quick before my break comes up. It says it takes care of human rights and is guided by Islamic tolerance when dealing with the followers of other religions. It says under the wing of Islam, it is possible for the followers of the three religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, to coexist in peace and quiet with each other. It says this, under the wing of Islam, it is possible for the followers of the three religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, to coexist in peace and quiet with each other. Peace and quiet could not be possible except under the wing of Islam. Past and present history are best witnesses to that. I wonder if anybody in our listening audience takes exception to that statement that's in their covenant. It says Islam confers upon everyone his legitimate rights. Islam prevents an incursion on other people's rights. I just wonder if anybody in our listening audience takes exception. Before we go to our break, I'm going to read something. These are actually out of the Quran, and this is just informative. It's good to know what the Quran states if some people believe the Quran and follow the Quran. I am a proponent of following the Holy Bible and to observing the teachings of Jesus Christ. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And in this way, all laws are fulfilled. But I'm going to quote some statements out of the Quran that have been translated to English. Infidels are those who declare God is the Christ, the Son of Mary. That's Surah 5:17. Infidels are those that say God is one of the three in a Trinity. That's Surah 573. Infidels are your sworn enemies. Surah 4101. Make war on the infidels who dwell around you. Surah 9123. When you meet the infidel in the battlefield, strike off their heads. Surah 47:4. Muhammad is Allah's apostle. Those who follow him are ruthless to the infidels. Surah 48:29. Prophet, make war on the infidels. Surah 66:9. Believers, take neither the Jews nor the Christians for your friends, Surah 5:51. Believers, do not make friends with those who have incurred the wrath of Allah, that's Surah 60:13. Never be a helper to the disbelievers, Surah 28:86. Kill the disbelievers wherever you find them, Surah 2:191. Those are mandates. I would consider that, those are in the Latin would be mandamus. That's from a higher authority directing the lower authority to take action on what is a lawful obligation. I think that's something that we need to be aware of as we consider the events of the day, politics, policies, and things that are going on in the rest of the world. I'm talking about some scary stuff today. It is scary because, you know, we're not used to this. We're kind of, in a society that it really was raised and formed by a Christian nation, a nation. I didn't say the government was Christian. I said the nation was a Christian nation. And our government was formed by people who understood a different precept in law other than killing those who will not conform to your mindset. That when you read a sermon by Samuel West that was written to the folks, the Continental Congress, the guys that got together and wrote or decided upon the Declaration of Independence. This letter was written in May of 1776. And what it did is it talked about, it was called the right to rebel. And that seems like an oxymoron, right? A right and rebellion. Could rebellion be right? And that's what he was challenging. What are the laws of Almighty God that could justify not agreeing or obeying the King of England? And that was the subject. But one of the things he pointed out, he used the term Turks when talking about the religious group that we commonly refer to those who follow Islam. And he pointed out that the Christian religion was not one that would bring a sword of influence, that it was a message of redemption, of transformation from within, that men would basically act in the best way for the furtherest of humanity by conforming to the law, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what was put before those guys writing the Declaration of Independence. But it's interesting that even all those people had knowledge of a history of violent conflicts between the leaders of the Muslim world in history that conquered great areas of land and put people to the religion of Islam at the point of a sword. The people that formed this nation, even understanding the history there. In fact, if you listen or find out about the history of Captain John Smith of Jamestown, you'll find out that he had quite some remarkable activities with regard to some of the wars that were happening in the Middle East. It's important for us to really stop and think about things and consider why we think what we think and what is really right. Is there a basis of truth? Are we able to examine truth? Are we able to evaluate it? Are we able to act upon it in a way that is really fulfilling the law of God, to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves? Now, I do want to bring up something about that was in the news. I was listening to Michael Savage one night. He was making some comments about some of the things that were happening in Texas with the Latter-day Saints group, and where there's hundreds of children taken away from their parents. And he said, and I can't do his accent, so I won't try, but his challenge was, where's the witness? Where's the accuser? It's important in due process in law that to protect the rights of the most innocent. In fact, that goes back to the Old Testament.
You made a great point about rebellion and rebels and can that be right? And you bridge perfectly, and my accolades to you, because again, our founding fathers, who were thought to be liberal in their time, had they not fought for the justice and the preservation of rights, including their right of speech and the right of freedom of religion and so on and so forth, then we certainly wouldn't be here today.
JP, I'm using scary words on the radio while I've still got the chance to do it, you know? Hey, and my point I was going to, and I'm sure you're familiar with this Latter-day Saints thing that's happening in Texas. What's your take on that? Just, you know, what? Just give me your candid perspective. Do you have one?
Yes. In a nutshell. Number one, it makes me scared any time that the government goes in and takes over somebody when they have the right to do their own thing in this country. Even if you and I might not agree with it, but do their own thing. And that is my first grip on it. However, if children, minors, are being abused in any shape or form, then I believe it is the government's now responsibility and moral right from our, as being Christians, to go in and act accordingly to remove them out of harm's way.
And I agree with you. And if there is very substantive evidence, then it should be done and done quickly. Now, one of the things that we're seeing, I don't know if you saw in the news here in the last 24 hours, they've discovered that there's a lady who now claims to be Ruth instead of Sarah that might be a 33-year-old, not a 16-year-old, who has nothing to do with that organization, was actually the one making two separate calls saying that she was a 16-year-old who was being abused by her father and things like that. Now, had you heard that report?
I had not heard that. Sarah was the one that I recall that was the 16-year-old that talked about the abuse. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I never heard anything about the 33-year-old. That's multiple personality or just being dishonest.
Yeah, well, I did a pilot program in Florida 2 weeks last January where we did a five-day-a-week show, 2 hours. We were testing out this faith and freedom thing. And during that time, there was a social worker down in Florida that was actually generating her income by having a friend of hers make reports about people. And they were actually going in and taking away children, and it was actually boosting the lady's, her caseload. Her pay was directly related to her caseload. And then it came out in the news. And
get out of here!
That actually happened. That was a year ago in Florida, and I, at that time, she was then being having criminal charges against her. So when
people like that, you talk about eternal judgment. People like that are going to burn in hell. I just think there are things like that where people just take so advantage, not of the system, because many people, including I've probably been guilty of it in my life, and I'm not happy about it, but on a minor level, but taking advantage of other human lives like that, God's going to judge them someday, and I don't think righteously.
It's a concern, obviously, this Latter-day Saint thing, whether is that if there are children being abused, then something needs to be done and done quick. If it was done behind closed doors and now it's open, if they can really get down to the facts and deliver somebody who's innocent from a predator, then it needs to be done. But on the flip side, basically, all the cameras on these people who wear nice, clean, old-style clothes and are very polite and don't watch TV, who are now being kept from their mothers because they're in the middle of a legal process, so to speak. That's where I'm very concerned, because I this is a secret. Don't tell anybody, JP, but we homeschool our children. They're in a bubble.
Oh, God bless you.
but I'm worried.
I think that's so cool, and I respect that. I think it's great if people that do or they don't. However, I would side with the government in this case, in that there was reasonable cause for concern for them to act accordingly. But, as I stated earlier, I certainly have my reservations and concerns that we're infringing on people that, you know what, they're not my cup of tea. I mean, they're not the Christians I hang out with, but who am I to judge? God will judge us all one day.
Well, JP, I love your perspective, because, again, it went back to the thing that our founders understood, that government is necessary to protect the weaker person from the insults and injury of the strong one. And I appreciate you listening to my show, and I tune into yours every once in a while as well.
Thank you. Maybe I'll have you on my show again.
Thanks for the call, JP.
Right on, man. Thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
That is my concern with the Latter-day Saints group, is when we look at this whole thing, it's important. It's incredibly important. If we're going to have the government act, they've got to be careful. You can't fault them, because, as Mr. Godsey says, there was probable cause. There was enough information to make them suspect of having some troubles. But, and also, you got to realize, the guy that was the leader of the group had some proven things happened in other states with other young ladies. So there was enough hint going on outside of that that would substantiate, make them feel like maybe the call was something they could substantiate. Of course, they knew the first day they went in there that the person who supposedly had made the report did not exist. So now it's a matter of really, one thing I saw in the news today, at least they're not forcing these kids to go off and start hanging out with people who are from a completely different culture. You know, the things that their parents have, what they thought were protecting their children from the wiles of the devil, as far as some things that you might be exposed to on TV and things. At least I'm thankful that they're mindful of that, and said in the news that they were putting them with people that don't have kids, foster parents, families that would be sensitive to those needs, and to not basically violate that preference of their parents. But the thing is now, what do you do? I think it's important to find out right away which parent was taking care of the kids properly, and get that child right back to the parent. We have a role. We have a duty. We can't just let the media or the government or whoever sway what we think. Our job is to be proactive, to make sure that this is a faith and freedom show. And I say that our freedom will come in proportion to our faith. And our July 19th show that you can hear on www.faithfreedoms.net, I talked about what faith really is. I challenge your thinking about whether you can know that how you're acting, whether it's truly in faith. And my thought is that you can act in faith when you know it's something that is actually true. Other than that, it's merely wishful thinking. And I couldn't say would classify as faith. It'd be false. But when you act on what is true, you see the benefits. It's something you can rely upon for your benefit, or you could ignore to your hurt. So I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show. You can find out more at www.faithfreedoms.org. You can invite me, yes, to speak to your group, or you can listen to the podcast at www.faithfreedoms.net.